The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Suave.
I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss, grinding shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams of right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, changed relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now
BetOnline is the number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
All righty, guys. We are back with another episode of the What's In Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. As always, I'm your host, Andrew Robinson. And as you guys can see, man, we're joined by a special, special guest today, man. But before we introduce our guest, you know, we got to get the nitty gritty out the way. That was my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the intro. It's going to be him on the outro as well. Make sure you guys are streaming his music, one of the hottest up-and-coming artists out of the DMV. If you guys are hearing this on YouTube, make sure you stop what you're doing. Give us a thumbs up. Like this podcast. Subscribe to this podcast. Tell a friend. It goes a long way. If you're hearing us on Apple, Spotify, Google, go ahead and give us a review. Give us some feedback, man. You know what I mean? We appreciate positive and negative feedback. It helps us grow. Again, helps us show. Get out there to people who need to hear it, man. But as you guys can see, we have a special, special guest on the show today, man. This is somebody who we've been trying to get on the show for a while, man. But as you guys know, when you're busy doing amazing work, man, some things take time, man. But this is somebody who we're pleased to be joined by today on the show, somebody who's extremely creative, extremely successful, and not only transitioning from the on-court experience playing basketball overseas, has now transitioned to the business side as an entrepreneur, creative. We're pleased to be joined by Jonathan Napoleon of Estelle Sports Management. Man, so Jon, thank you for joining us today, my guy.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. No doubt, man. And like I mentioned, man, we're definitely excited to have you on, man. I think you're somebody who, just from afar, man, I've always just seen. And obviously, we met in L.A. through Trey a few months back. And I always have respected, man, just being able to see guys who have made that transition from playing into the business aspect of sports, man. So I'm definitely excited to get into that with you today. Just talk about your journey, man. But before we get into that, man, talk to me about your upbringing, man. Like, you know, where you're from, how you got to the game of basketball, man, because before we know, you know, Jon Napoleon, the business, you know, guy and the creative, man, you was hooping. So talk to us about the upbringing, man, and just growing up out there in L.A. and what your early days out there was like.
Yeah, man, I was born and raised here in Los Angeles. I'm actually first generation American. My parents are both Ethiopian, so they both grew up there, moved here when they were about 18, 19 years old. So they raised me out here, me and my sister. I have a sister who's a few years younger than me. grew up on the west side of LA, and I'm going to Brentwood High School. And as my dad is Ethiopian, basketball is not very big out there. So I grew up just watching Lakers. I grew up on Kobe and Shaq, and pretty much just emulating what I saw on TV in the backyard. My dad would try his best to kind of show me how to shoot, but he certainly can't shoot. So I'm glad I didn't take his form. So yeah, I grew up on that, diehard Laker fan, Kobe fan since I was young, and ended up playing AAU, high school, ended up going to college in New Jersey for basketball. So basketball was always huge for me, and ended up going overseas with it. And now I'm still working in basketball, at a basketball agency.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me about, I guess, when you did get the opportunity to go play overseas, man. Like, I know that's oftentimes, it's obviously, it's an amazing experience, you know what I mean? Because you get to live across the world, you get to play basketball, and obviously live like your dreams. But I feel like that's also a major point of reflection and transition in a lot of folks' lives, man, because, you know, when you're overseas, you don't got nothing but time to think and kind of reflect and figure out what kind of those next steps are in life. So talk about what your overseas journey was like, both playing and I guess how you were able to just use that time to grow and personally develop, you know, while you were over there.
Well, actually, my overseas experience is a little bit different than, I guess, some traditional overseas routes, because I play Division III basketball, so there's not a lot of players in Division III that go on to have high-level professional careers. But I've always been in love with the game. I love the process, I love working out, like all the stuff that a lot of people don't like,
yeah.
I just happened to be obsessed with, so I wanted to continue to play, and I felt like my best days were still ahead of me. So I was just steadily improving in college, and then there was a man that came to our university and said there was an opportunity for me to continue playing and get my postgraduate degree in either Ireland or England, and I chose to go to London because I've traveled there before. I love the city, and obviously there's a lot of great opportunity and in a major city like that, a major international city. So I was able to do that, do the school and basketball. And once I was there, I told myself, you know, the main thing was obviously getting my degree and learning more and networking and doing things like that. But once I was out there, I feel like I had a better chance to then progress in Europe once I'm there, because as a lot of people here know, like sending your film out and reaching out to coaches in countries that you never heard of a lot of times is tough. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to go out there, play as hard as I can, speak to as many coaches as I can, maybe if necessary, take an hour flight to Germany to go try out for any club I could, just because of the proximity. Because when I'm here in Los Angeles, going to Germany is what, a 13-hour flight, but from London, it's only about an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it might be. So I was able to do that. And I ended up getting some interest from some clubs in different countries outside of England that I was planning on going to play at. Then the pandemic hit in 2020. So then I obviously had to come home. And I continued working for the next like year or so in anticipation of the pandemic wrapping up and leagues opening back up. But as everyone knows, that was a very slow process. It was very different in every single country. Some leagues were open. Most leagues had less money. Being a Division III athlete, you already don't have a big name, so it would be, you know, very tough to make it back out there. So I eventually ended up having to somehow retire from it and shift my focus towards a corporate-esque career here in Los Angeles. So.
Now, wait, was that program, was it called Sports Changes Lives, or was it a different program?
No, it's a program called Play Overseas, but there, I think there's a few different programs that offer similar programs where you get to do postgraduate, but you actually get to play in the university league there, even if you've played 4 years of NCAA, which was cool because, I mean, their university system's not as intense as NCAA here, and the level of play is obviously not as high as the US. But what I did learn in London, at least, is that the interest is very high in the sport. I thought it was going to be a lot more, you know, like some high level European coaches and just maybe not a high level of talent. It was actually the opposite. I found out that the players had major interest. They were very interested in NBA, learning, working out, playing. Like they had a real love for the game. And sometimes the coaching wasn't the best, and the resources, the lack of resources, because I think the country mostly funds the sports that they feel like they can compete at a an Olympic level at or World Cup level at. So obviously, you know, soccer, rugby, cricket, even netball, which is like the female version of basketball there. And maybe a lot of Americans don't even know what that is. I didn't know what it was until I got there.
Netball, big net.
Yeah, I was just trying to get shots up one day in the gym. They told me that I was up there, and I was like, what is this? But I mean, it's honestly a pretty interesting sport. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it. But yeah, there's definitely a big love for it. So I hope that they can find a way to fund it a little more, because there actually is talent. And I feel with the talent and the love for the game, I feel like the game can really grow there.
Yeah. So quick little caveat before I ask my follow-up question, man. It's funny you mentioned netball, because I'm out here in Australia, who obviously has a huge British influence. You know what I mean? They're still under the king and queen, mm-hmm. the system, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of that stuff is the same. And they play netball out here. I'll never forget, bro. The first time I was like, I got off the plane, my coach is like bringing me through the arena and like, yeah, man, this is where we play our games at. And I don't know if it's the same in the UK, but in here, like, they play netball indoors, but a lot of them is also like outdoors, like netball and stuff like that. So we're walking up to the arena, and it's a bunch of like netball rings, like up in the parking lot. And in my mind, I'm like, yo, like, this joint is janky out here. They got all these hoops with no backboards. I'm like, nah. I'm like, this shit is crazy. I'm like, they don't even got these in the trenches, like the worst hood in back in the crib. At least they got nets or a backboard. Like, these no backboards, no nets. I'm like, this is crazy. And so I go to my coach. I'm like, yo, coach, like, what happened to the backboards? They're like, oh, no, that's a whole other sport. That's netball. I'm like, nah, this is crazy. I'm like, how is netball with no net? Like, it's wild.
I know, right? It's,
it's crazy. But I think that's the wonderful thing, though, about going overseas, man, is having different experiences and being exposed to different cultures, man. You can learn so much. And that's everybody out there that plays netball, man. You know what I mean? Definitely a very interesting sport I got to learn more about. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you was, I think it's very interesting that you were able to kind of still make it overseas, like, despite the fact that you went Division III. So what was that process like for you when you were seeking out opportunities to play overseas, whether it was, you know, because I feel like most guys, you got to find the agent, right? And then your agent's kind of connecting you with different opportunities. It seems like you kind of went out on your own path to seek out this opportunity and make it happen. So talk to me about what that experience was like for you when you were coming out of college and trying to make this dream come to fruition.
Yeah. Honestly, it just took a lot of relentlessness and a lot of almost delusional confidence that I can make it, because I was sending film out, emails every day, nonstop, to coaches, agents, everyone. I was like, please look, I really want to play. I have this ability. I'm willing to work at any level. And it was just like, no response. So a lot of times it was very disheartening. It was very hard. Like, a lot of days where I'm like, there's just no way I can make it out. Even though I really did believe in my own game and my own ability to adapt and learn, it was just getting that first opportunity was just so difficult. So I was thankful for my opportunity in England, because I was at least able to get onto a court overseas and show what I could do. And I got some help while I was there from coaches who saw me actually play and got to see me train and see how hard I actually worked. They saw the potential in me. So if it hadn't been for the pandemic, I think I would eventually have gotten to a place where I would have maybe fulfilled my professional career. But I mean, everything happens for a reason. But yeah, those days were very hard. It was day after day calling, emailing. Like, I don't think some people understand how many emails, how many calls, how many text messages, how many Instagram DMs you have to do to even get one chance. Like, yeah. And I guess it's kind of similar. I mean, I guess you could say it's similar for anybody in a job search who's been seeking a job they really want, or a very competitive field. Like, it takes a lot of no's before you even get one. Not even yes. It's almost like maybe. All right, like, I'll give you a chance. You get one response. So it's like, it taught me a lot. Even moving forward in my corporate career here, you know, it's like you just have to keep trying, keep going, because nobody's gonna want it as bad as you do. So if you just keep showing up, keep email and keep calling, something's eventually going to come through. So if you just continue to, and I made sure I continued to put the work in, so I was prepared for any opportunity that I had, because doing all that and not staying prepared, you never know when your opportunity is going to come. So it's not easy. It's not easy by any means. So for anybody that's out there feeling discouraged, like, if you want to do it, you have to accept that it's going to be really hard. It's going to be a lot of no's. It's going to be a lot of people ignoring you. But if you really want it and are willing to accept that and continue to keep going, then I think you'll eventually get to the point where you want to be.
Straight up. One thing that you said in your response that I love talking about on this podcast, man, because I feel like a lot of the guests that we've had on have said the same thing. And it's that idea of having delusional confidence. And I talk about a lot of people that I know, man, that have reached the most success in life, have that certain level of delusional confidence, man, where like no matter what, they feel like they, the Michael Jordan of their field, whatever the case may be. Man, I always tell a story about my teammate back in prep school, Hamidou Diallo, who was like a sophomore when I was a postgrad in prep school. And we're playing against like Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Adams and Justin Simon. Brewster, I had like seven high major dudes, future NBA players. And like, he's a scrawny kid coming from the Bronx, coming from Queens in New York. And like, I think he had 25, bro. But he thought he was the best player on the floor, bro. And he wasn't ranked yet. Like, he was just barely scratching the surface, man. Like, that level of belief carried him all the way through his NBA career. And I feel like no matter what area of life in, whether you're trying to go overseas, whether you're, we're talking about this with Jessica Camille. She was talking about how, like, she has this whole Delulu is a Salulu mantra where it's like, yo, everything I do is like, I got to have delusional, you know, confidence and dreams with what I'm trying to accomplish in my life, man. So I kind of want to ask you, how has that kind of manifested in your life, not only from a basketball perspective, but how have you been able to translate that into now in the corporate space where you kind of do have to kind of have these type of that switch, you know, in your mind. And like you mentioned earlier, whatever you're doing, you know what I mean? Whether it's basketball or corporate, I think that mindset can be translated no matter what field you're in.
Yeah. I think, well, first off, I think you can't have the delusional confidence without putting in the work. Like, my confidence comes from all the work that I put in, whatever I'm doing is basketball or work here. Like, I know that every day I'm putting maximal effort into whatever needs to be done, to studying, to preparing, to making sure I'm there early for my guys, whatever it is, so that at the end of the day, I know that I'm prepared. So I think in that case, I know that I'm prepared. So whatever happens, like, I have the belief that I can figure it out because I've done everything on my end. A lot of times I feel like where people get tripped up is they have this, you know, this confidence, but they haven't actually put the work in. And so when they're put in these tough positions or that opportunity comes out of nowhere, they don't really know what to do with it. And that'll crush your confidence. Like, it only takes one time and it's hard to build that back up. So I guess for me, it's just the confidence in my work and my ability to figure out whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think one thing I love about these conversations, this podcast, I feel like you learn so much. And I feel like all the guests I always take something from, man. And a conversation that I always have with one of my brothers, his name is Trey Fields. He went to Yale, played in the G League for a couple of years, and now he's kind of doing his thing on the content side of things. But we talk about all the time, like, yo, like, how as a hooper, you have this routine, right? And as you're growing up, when they say you want to make it to the league, right, yo, you got to lift, you got to be in the gym, you got to get up, you know, 300 shots a day, and you got to make sure you're lifting and stretching, right? So you can kind of know as a hooper, right, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, all right, boom, I got up 300 shots today. I got a lift in, you know, I did my stretching, my recovery, right? So you can go to bed being like, yo, I had a really good day. You know what I mean? You know the steps that take to be successful. Now, when you're transitioning that to a corporate setting, right, what does a good day look like? You know what I mean? When you go to sleep at night and you're now in this corporate space, right, you're talking about having delusional confidence, but it falls back on the work, right? Did I put the work in order to have confidence? What does a good day look like for you now, right, post-basketball? How you define the work and the stuff that you need to put in on a day-to-day basis to be like, you know what? I've done X, Y, Z today. I know that I took a step towards the bigger picture and reaching my goal. Like, what does that look like for you?
I mean, this business, like, our days are so different every day, but I think for me, it's like, I feel like I'm in a service business where we are in the business of serving clients or helping others. So for me, it's like, a good day is where I have reached out to somebody and offered help or see if they need somebody else, or have I completed all the tasks that's needed? Have I studied towards, let's say for me, like the future agency test? Have I learned something new? And then also actually it's have I done something for myself? That's not even being, you know, fully selfish or anything. It's more so like, I have to make sure that I'm taking care of myself, whether it's like getting my workout in or reading, or eating healthy meal, whatever it is, like I have to make sure that I'm doing something for myself so that I can better serve everyone else around me and better contribute to the company, to my friendships, to my relationships, to society in general.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think that that's from my perspective and from what I'm trying to, even like trying to hoop now and like build this thing out with All Facts, I feel like that's kind of the most challenging thing is like, all right, boom. What does a good day look like when you're trying to build something, build a brand? And I think that kind of is a perfect segue into my next question with you, because you've been able to build something in snow culture and your own brand and with yourself alongside with your good friend, Dennis Ashley. And I kind of wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about snow, you know, what that means to you, how that came about, first of all, you know what I mean? And how you kind of got the idea to start that. And this is for the people who maybe are just hearing about it for the first time, man. What is snow culture all about?
Snow culture stands for Summer's Never Over. It's a company that me and one of my best friends, Dennis, started in 2021. It was something when we were just coming out of the pandemic, we always kind of bounce around business ideas or whatever it might be. And we kind of figured that we have a lot of friends in doing great things. And for Dennis, he has a lot of, his father works in, is a high level music exec, and he's also had a lot of interest in music, but he doesn't make music himself. And for me, I have a lot of friends that work in fashion, that own clothing brands or design, manufacture, whatever it is. But I don't make clothes myself. So we're like, all right, well, what can we do with both of these great networks? And we were like, all right, well, why don't we put together an event series where we can kind of combine both and give our friends and family that are in these spaces a platform to share their stories, to share their talent, in events where we do like, let's just say mini festival where we have music artists perform on stage, clothing brands come set up booths to share their stories, sell their clothes, and further market their brands. So we started doing that and it kind of took off that year, especially because it was the first year out of the pandemic. People were, you know, really searching to connect other people because we were in an isolated pandemic. So that was a really fun thing that we started, and we've kind of grown it into different things now, but that's kind of at the core what it is. It's just serving creatives in music, art, and fashion, which to us is kind of all one big thing. They all bounce off each other, they all influence each other, they're all related. So yeah, really proud of the work we've done with that, and I think we've helped a lot of different people. So
yeah, now I feel like from what I'm hearing from you, man, no matter whether it's your work in business with Excel or your work with Snow, right, you keep on talking about this thing like, I want to serve other people or give back to other people or connect with other people. And I have friends that I want to be able to bring together. You know what I mean? It seems like you truly do have a heart just for service and for putting others before yourself. And I want to ask, like, where does that come from? Do you feel like that's something that you've always had as a kid? That's something that maybe your parents taught you when they're still in you? Because I feel like in this world, there's not a lot of people who kind of have that mindset. A lot of people are kind of like, yo, me first, and then I'll think about y'all later. You know what I mean? But it seems like in a bunch of different avenues of your life, you seem to put other people before yourself and have that mindset of how can I help and contribute. And I kind of want to know where that comes from, because I feel like a lot of people could benefit from kind of having that mindset. You know what I mean? I think that that's a very admirable quality to have, you know, especially somebody as young as yourself to be able to kind of be selfless and put others before yourself, man. I think that's an amazing quality, and I would love to just know kind of where that came from.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, to be honest, I think my parents kind of instilled that in me before I even knew what that type of service was, or that just kind of always felt like the right thing. So I think at the core of it, that's just kind of how I was raised. My parents, grandparents, family, everything. I think maybe part of it is my background being from a third world country where so many people have such little, but are so grateful for the little that they get. So I think growing up and being exposed to that during my trips to Ethiopia, I just feel like I had a good perspective on life from that. And I was always just taught to be appreciative of what I have. And, you know, I'm not the richest or best or whatever it might be, but I feel like I'm rich in experience and in relationships. So, I feel like it's kind of like my duty to share that, because it's literally free to serve other people, to do things for others. And And at the core, I really love doing that. And as I've gotten older and as I've obviously had to build my own career and make a living for myself, I've learned that the more you do for others, the more blessings come back to you. And it's not always from the person you serve. It comes from random ways, random people at random times. So you definitely don't want to do things expecting a return from that person right there, because then it's not genuine and it probably won't happen. But I've learned that, you know, the more I serve others, the more blessings come my way from different ways. So that's just kind of a lifestyle and something that I don't quantify. I don't count as many things that I do. I just continue to live that way because I feel like I find purpose in that. I kind of just trust that as long as I continue to put in the work, that good things will happen to me down the road, because I'm not even close to where I want to be. I'm frustrating my career a lot of the time, but as long as I just continue to do everything that I can, I do believe that it'll eventually all kind of sort itself out and I'll be where I want to be.
Sure. On that same token of service, man, you know, alongside with Snow the brand, you were able to start the Snow Family Foundation, you know, which is a platform that you guys have been able to use to give back to the community and do a bunch of amazing, amazing things. And again, man, I just want to give you your flowers for that again, too, because I feel like I grew up in a low-income neighborhood, you know, in D.C. and, well, excuse me, in Maryland, right outside D.C., Tacoma Park. And you don't see a lot of people, especially our age, that are out there, you know, in the streets giving people things and giving back and have a foundation, you know what I mean? So I want to, number one, give you opportunity to talk about that, what that means to you. But I also want to be able to give people opportunity who are hearing this to understand, like, how they can help, how they can contribute, and how they can kind of get involved. Because I feel like the more people that we can, you know, bring together and just raise awareness, you know, the better. So I just want to give you opportunity to talk about, you know, the foundation as well and kind of how that came to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's kind of on brand for everything else that we've done with Snow Culture, with serving creatives and giving them platforms. We figured that it'd be a great idea for us to extend that service to people in need. And so for us, it started because we were working in the creative space, but it's like fashion, music, art. And those are actually sectors in, let's say, like LAUSD here, or all over the world, that aren't always funded properly, or actually not funded properly fully, a lot of times cut out of programs and whatnot. So we kind of saw that and then saw an opportunity to use our resources, use our friends and family who work in these spaces and are also willing to give back and share their stories, and whether it's give supplies, art supplies, or clothing or blank t-shirts for somebody to create. But we've kind of partnered with a couple of different organizations and charities to expand our reach. And Dennis has done a great job of connecting with different foundations and kind of organizing it properly. So major credit to him. So yeah, I mean, it kind of just is on brand for what we've done, and it kind of only felt right. And as far as what people can do to help, honestly, there's not one way. We have a website where you can see the more of the work we're doing, if there's certain things that you kind of gravitate towards, always taking monetary donations. But for us, we're honestly more focused on the programs that we do. And we find that, of course, the money goes a long way. But a lot of the events that we do, we just need more people there with us, more kind of hands on ground. And we do a lot of events with the children that we work with. So honestly, the best way to support is just to reach out to us, whether it's a direct message to our Instagram account or personally to me or Dennis. Just ask us what we have going on, because we kind of always do. And for us, we don't like reaching out to people to ask for help. Because we've had such a great network of friends and family around us that have kind of always reached out to us, and we've never wanted to go and ask people to help. We found that the best help comes from those that kind of seek it. So please don't be shy. Reach out if you want to even learn more. Reach out. We'd love to explain more or tell you more about what we have going on and how people can get involved with us.
Yeah, I love it, man. That's awesome, man. And for everybody listening, man, I think we should all take something from Jan and be able to kind of have that heart to serve and to give back. So this is one way that you can kind of manifest that in your own lives and contribute and do that. So again, man, I just want to give you, you know, your flowers for that, because I think that's an amazing thing, especially, like I said, at our age, man. So hats off to you for that. I want to kind of get back to the just the matriculation, you know, from going from the Hooper kind of into this, you know, business aspect. And talk to me about that experience in London, right? Because I feel like being able to live in London, first of all, London is one of the most amazing cities in the world. Even though it's cloudy out there, you know what I mean? It rains a lot. It's not always sunny. That's definitely been a place that I've been wanting to travel for a long time. A lot of culture, a lot of our people out there as well. Talk about what that experience was like, just living out there, going to school out there, and how you kind of, what you were able to take from those 2 years out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all those things that you said are very true. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. If it weren't for the pandemic, I honestly would have loved to be out there a little bit longer, but I try to go back as often as my schedule allows it. But it's just an amazing city, honestly. It's like very international, which I think was one of the coolest parts. Because when you're there, when I say international, it's not just, you know, other Black people there, but it's West Africans, East Africans, there's Indians, there's Saudi Arabians, all types of people from all over the world. So it's just like, you know, walking to different neighborhoods, like you just bump into, and for me, obviously I use the public transportation there. So I'm just bumping into all types of people every day and learning new cultures and eating new foods. And yeah, I feel like I tried to make the most of it during my time there. I didn't get to travel quite as much in Europe as I probably would have liked, but that's, you know, because I had a lot of school and basketball, and that was the main thing I was there for. So I'm not complaining by any means. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it was a great experience just kind of throwing myself in the culture. I had some friends in London already who showed me around a bit, but all the friends that I made there, they were amazing hosts and took me around the city. You know, it took me to the coolest spots, the best food, all that type of stuff. So a few of those friends I have there are friends that I consider friends that will be around for the rest of my life. So I'm very thankful and appreciative for that time living away. I feel like if anyone can and is able to, I would always recommend to live away from home, whether it be somewhere else in the U.S. If you're fortunate enough, somewhere outside of the U.S. in a different country, I just feel like you learn so much, not only about other cultures, but you learn more about yourself. There's a lot of time, as you said, like when you guys are playing overseas or whatever it might be, a lot of self-reflection time. You learn, you have a lot of time by yourself with your own thoughts, but then you also learn being around different cultures, like how much bigger the world is, but also how you might actually see things maybe more like how they do, or you just kind of only thought one way because that's all you've been around, and that's totally fine. It's just there's more to it, and you might have more. I think everyone has more to them. It just takes certain things. Maybe it's an overseas experience, or maybe it's moving out of your neighborhood to kind of expand your mind and grow as a person. So I'm very thankful for my time there, and will continue to go there as often as I can.
Yeah, yeah. And shout out Brent Fires, man. Summer in London. If you know, you know, man. I love playing
that. That was around the time that I was living there too. Is when those songs, that song was on repeat. Yeah, it was some good theme music for sure.
Yeah. So I feel like obviously when you were out there, you know, I know you got your postgraduate degree, you know, in business and marketing and management, things like that. So I feel like clearly you kind of had that mindset of like what you were going to do next. And that's always kind of been an area of focus. But did you always know you wanted to go into the, I guess, agency route or business side of basketball after? Like, oh, was this kind of something that kind of just happened, you know, after you finished and like, oh, well, what's next type of thing? Like, did you always know you wanted to go into the business of basketball after you were playing? Like, how did that all that kind of work out when it came to just planning it out with your schoolwork and courses and things like that?
Yeah, actually, I've honestly known that I've wanted to be an agent since I was in high school. I always knew that I wanted to play for as long as I could. And then from there, I want to stay close to the game because, like I was telling you earlier, like basketball is like, so anyone that knows me knows I'm a basketball junkie, whether I'm in the back gym of an AAU game on an 8 a.m. in Lynwood, or if I'm at a Laker game. So it's like, for me, I really love the game. So I wanted to stay around it as much as possible. So now being able to work in it, is really cool for me because a lot of days it doesn't even feel like work. It feels like what I enjoy doing, even though it is a lot of hard work and a lot of long days, I enjoy what I do. So yeah, I kind of always knew that, but it took a long time to even get here. I'm still only starting off here. I've only been here for a little over a year now. It took years and years of, like, similar to my basketball career, of applying to jobs, reaching out to people, going to every event, whether it's Summer League or All-Star Weekend, whatever it is, it's all that type of stuff. So it's something that I've always wanted, and I just continue to be at it. I'm still on the journey to climb up this corporate ladder, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I've kind of always wanted to do that, and I'm slowly making my way, getting a little bit closer.
100%. Now, I feel like, I think the hardest part for every hooper, man, is like when that ball does stop bouncing, like, all right, you got to kind of come to terms with that. Like, all right, man, it's time to transition into that next facet of, all right, like, I'm no longer a hooper. What are we doing next? You know what I mean? And actually trying to pull yourself up to figure that out. And like you mentioned, make those calls and figure out what that next step is. So talk to me about that in-between phase, you know what I mean? And what that looked like for you in transitioning from the, you know, England and London and going to school and getting the master's to now I'm back home, now I'm in the States, and now I have to try to get a job in this field, right? Like, what were those days look like? What were those days like for you, excuse me? And how were you able to kind of land that first corporate job in the industry?
Yeah. I mean, they were hard, man. It's not easy. I mean, thankfully for me, I always knew that I had to get my degree, and I always had interest in business, and I would kind of always naturally network. So but I understand there's a lot of guys who really struggle with it. And I totally understand, because for so many years, all you're focused on, because to be even a college player, like, you have to be like all in on basketball. There's not a lot of time, not a lot of opportunity to explore the things or build other skills in that time. It's just the nature of if you want to get to a certain level. So there's certain things that are working against you, but there are a lot of things that are working with you, because I think a lot of, not even being biased, I think athletes can be some of the greatest employees, the greatest business owners, because of all the skills that they've learned throughout their sport, especially team sport athletes. Whether it's like, you know, goal setting, teamwork, being able to work with others, all type of things. Like, those are all skills that are transferable to the office. I think, if you just continue to, if you remember, I always had to tell myself, like, yes, after college, I spent a few years playing overseas while some of my college classmates were already working full-time jobs and already 2-3 years into their career. And I think that was very hard for me to accept. So it's just, especially, I mean, and it's hard to not compare yourself. I know, you know, comparison is a thief of joy, but we're still also competitors. Like, we still, like, I'm like, I want to start working there. Like, I'm playing. Am I even going to make it this far? So it's like, these are all like very normal thoughts. I think it's okay for everyone to think that. I have to always continue to tell myself, like, it's okay to have these thoughts, because you want to be great, and sometimes you're missing out on certain opportunities. But for me, yeah, it was just trying to kind of remember that I'm on my own path. Everyone's on their own path. Things happen for a reason. And I think, like I said, like, there's some comparative advantages to athletes who, I'd say in this field, I feel like playing has given me an advantage, because I can relate to athletes. And that's something that my friend who graduated at 22 and went right to an agency or to another job, whatever it is, he doesn't have that experience. So he can't relate to athletes on the level that I can. So it's like a kind of trade-off. And, you know, he's going to do great in his career because he's great at whatever he's good at. But I also have this experience that's going to make me good at these things. So it's just about being on your own path and accepting your path. It's hard. I know it is. And I hate, I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, just do this, just accept it and move on. Cause it is not that easy. I know for a fact. I'm just trying to tell you, after all the things I've been through, this is the things I still have to tell myself every day. Cause I'm still frustrated. I'm still 28, and I wish I was even further in my career, but I have to keep reminding myself that my path is different. Yeah, I guess kind of to your point of what that transition was like, it was hard, man. It was hard. I downloaded every meditation app. I started doing different things like that. And I feel like I'm stronger because of it. And I feel like a lot of the things that I go through now, I don't want to say are not as hard, but I feel like there's not a lot of things harder than kind of battling yourself in that in-between time. So if you can get through that and past that, I feel like you can accomplish whatever you need to moving forward. You'll definitely be stronger. So, yeah.
Damn. I feel like that's real, bro. And I feel like it's crazy. It could happen. This is like, you know, podcast, but this is like real for me. I feel like I'm living this right now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm playing overseas. I'm getting into, about to start my fourth year playing. It's a great experience and a blessing. You know what I mean? To be able to play. But I do know that at some point, you got the ball got to stop bouncing. You got to get into that next career. trying to do the media stuff and connect people. But you, it's like you can't help but look and be like, damn, this person is 28 or even younger, 27, 26, and they on their second or third promotion. You know what I mean? It's crazy to see people, you know, working at ESPN or working in the industry already. You're like, yo, hold on, like, all right, how long am I keep bouncing this ball? You know what I mean? Like, it's a crazy trade-off to be able to weigh. I thought, you know, I'm still trying to find that balance myself and figure out, like, all right, what is that trade-off between how long do you want to keep playing versus, all right, you know, you got to try to jump off the ship and get into that next area of your life. And I feel like, I always talk about me and my boy Trey. We talk about this all the time because he was somebody who jumped off a little bit earlier and was able to get into the content creation space. And he had a startup that he was working on called Jimble. He also said, yo, Drew, you got to keep, you know, just keep playing for as long as you can, man. Cause when it's over, like type of thing, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm always like, yeah, bro, but you out here draft and doing this and working with the NBA and they flying you out here. I'm like, dang, bro, like, that's crazy. And I feel like to this day, I'm still kind of battling that, man. So not for me, you know, we'll take myself out of it, but also for me, what kind of advice would you give to hoopers, right, who are in that space now, whether they're in college and trying to figure out, damn, do I want to chase that overseas dream and continue to go on that route? Or do I want to get into the corporate route and try to get a job? And, you know, what advice would you give to people who are in that space right now? Obviously, you have a lot of athletes that are in your circle. So folks that might be hearing this right now, man, are in that space. What kind of advice would you give to people who are kind of fighting that battle?
Yeah. I think you just have to, every player has to be honest with themselves. They have to look themselves in the mirror and ask, first off, like, how much do I love this? Like, and not how much do I love the big game where I'm playing in front of 20,000 people, a conference game. Like, how much do I love waking up at 6 a.m. and working out? How much do I love traveling for tryouts? How much do I love eating correctly? How okay am I with missing out on weekend parties and cutting down on drinking? Like, and it's totally okay to enjoy those things. Like, I don't want to scold anybody. Like, there's people. But it's, if you want to do this and if you're going to do this at a high level, you have to speak to yourself and come to an agreement. I even wrote myself an agreement, like things I wanted to do or things that I was okay with missing out on so I could achieve certain things. So you have to have an agreement with yourself knowing, all right, if I'm okay with missing this, waking up every morning with this, then I think you should pursue it. And if you really love all those things and not just, you know, the big moments and the trophies and the little money that you make or the lifestyle you get to live, like if you love all the things below that that get you there, then I think you should play for as long as you can, because this is the only time that you can play while you're young, fresh out of college. You can't go back when you're 35. I'm sorry, your odds are against you at that point. So if you're okay with doing all those things, I think you should pursue it and go all in and take everything you can from that journey, because it's going to be a ride no matter where you're at. But if one or two of those things are not okay with you and you're going to, you know, being overseas, that's 10 months out of the year. It's your life. It's not even like school where you come home for like three, four months. It's talking about like 10 months out of the year. So it's like, you have to also be okay with living in a foreign country where sometimes not really cold, your Eastern European countries, food's not what you like. One game a week, like all these things that, I mean, people kind of know this in the basketball world. You have to just be okay with it if it's worth it to you to pursue your dreams. And if all those things are okay with you, I think you should. But if, like I said, one or two of those things aren't, then I think you need to reevaluate and be proud of where you've gotten. Because even to get to college is a major accomplishment. You are a part of, what they say, like the 1% or whatever it is, play Division I, whatever it is. I think you take that degree, you take that experience, you tip your hat off to yourself. And then you move forward, because with that experience, you can go a lot of places. I know a lot of companies like college athletes because of all the things I was saying earlier about all the advantages that athletes have and all the skills that they have from their sports. So, that's, I guess, the best way I can answer that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think that's a great piece of advice, man. So let's talk about, I guess, like you mean, we talk about this kind of in-between phase and battling the decisions and what that was like. So for you, how were you able to come upon the opportunity to work at Excel? Like, what was that process like? How were you able to land that opportunity? Because I feel like, for me, at least on the outside looking in, I think that is obviously an amazing accomplishment to be able to get that job, which, all right, boom, like I'm on the way up. You know what I mean? And I think when you're going through that in-between phase and you're trying to figure out what's next, and obviously there's a huge gap in between when you stopped playing and, you know, when you kind of got to excel. But what was that opportunity like, how you were able to, you know, get the job opportunity there? And I think that for me, it seems like that's an opportunity where you can be like, all right, you know what, like, boom, I'm on that next ride now. You know what I mean? I'm taking the steps to kind of move up the ladder. And like, you're going from something like graduation, you know what I mean? Whether it's college or Division I or D1 to pro, it's like, all right, boom, like the ball's kind of in that direction now. So what was that process like for you in securing that opportunity?
Yeah, that process was, like I said, it was literally years of applying to different jobs, of reaching out, of emailing, of following random guys in the industry and hoping for a response on direct message, for a coffee meeting, for a call, anything. Like, it's funny because I feel like for a lot of athletes who played college or played overseas, you are kind of the star of the show. And people are kind of always approaching you with now, let's say, like NIL deals, or people, great game. Always, you do amazing things, of course, and you're the kind of the star of the show. And as you transition, you kind of then have to like reprogram yourself to strip a little bit of that ego away. And you're kind of starting all over from the bottom. So then you have to remember that, oh, people don't really care about me, to be honest, like they don't. And I'm not any more special than the next person. So you have to apply, still feel special and still know that you have something in you. But at the end of the day, like all these applications, like there's not much separating you guys. So you have to then approach it with that and not expect a response on everything. You have to be okay. Like I said earlier, you have to be okay with 100 no's until you get one maybe. So those few years, just like I said, a lot of applications. For me, I was like getting frustrated with not, so yeah, obviously send in your applications and whatnot, but I was like, you know what, I got to be a little more proactive. So I would work different events. So that was a major thing for me, is I would, whether it's something as little as like working a Foot Locker basketball event at Complex Con, just to meet people in the industry, or whether it's going to certain basketball runs to meet, you know, whoever it is, or I would go, work All-Star Weekend for any clothing pop-up, just to be around the scene and meet new people. And I guess I even went to Vegas Summer League on my own accord and kind of just sat in some of the lobbies waiting for GMs or agents or players to come by and you know, just without any ego stripping all aside and going up and saying, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time? I'd love to learn more about this. And you know, a lot of them said no, but then some of them did say yes, and I made a lot of great connections. So I think do all that you can, like online, as far as like reaching out to people, emailing, flying, but then take things into your own hands. Like go work events, like go work free events, or sometimes work a very little amount of money for the weekend. But if you have a bigger purpose and you do believe in yourself, then those costs will all come back to you. Because I mean, I was struggling for a while, barely making anything, but I had to just trust that one of these opportunities, one of these events, one of these weekends will kind of turn to something bigger. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that one thing that you said, man, was like, hey, go on a summer league on your own dime, and maybe come up to somebody and like, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time? Or let's have a conversation about this and learn more about this. I feel like that's such an amazing skill to have, because number one, a lot of people aren't able to do that and put themselves out there in that way, number one. But I feel like a lot of people also struggle with being in a room, right? And maybe you see somebody who can help you, right? Or you can make a connection with or have a conversation with, right? How do you go into that conversation or that opportunity and not feel like it's transactional, to where it's like, I need you to do this for me, right? Because a lot of times it's more so about the relationship and getting to know somebody, having them know who you are, what you're trying to do, as opposed to like, hey, you know, I'm Andrew Robinson. This is what I want to be an agent one day. I want to do this. How can you help me? Right? Like, it's a fine line between balancing those two things. So how were you able to kind of navigate those rooms and navigate those conversations in order to, I guess, get the most out of it, to where when that person is leaving that conversation, like, hey, you know what? This is a genuine dude I just met. Like, let me keep him in the back of my mind, as opposed to like, dang, man, this is another dude at summer league who asked me for something. Because there's a million people that are stopping these guys in these lobbies along the way, right? So you don't want to be another guy that's coming up and asking for something, right? So how do you balance that?
That's a very good question, because I even struggle with that, because for me, like, I had to kind of force myself to go out there and speak to more people, because I was so scared of that transactional relationship, because I'm such a genuine person. I have such great relationships. That's because I haven't asked for anything. I've always kind of done things on my own. But as I've gotten older, and as I've tried to get into this industry, I've had to ask. I've had to kind of reach out and hope for that opportunity. But I guess as far as that goes, I think it's more so if you approach it with an act, like I said, like kind of what I've active service, where when you reach out to people, you want to learn from them. Like, oh, I'd love 5 minutes to learn about what you do. And then it's not like, oh, can I get a job with you guys? Or it's more so like, oh, is there anything I can do for you to make your job easier? Whether it be like, for me, like, let's say you have to know what your comparative advantages are, right? Like, if you're really, really good at numbers, you have to be like, hey, like, if you ever need any help balancing the salary cap on your sheet, whatever it is, like, I would love to do that. Like, I've been really into that, and I've been working on it. If for me, let's say I'm a basketball player, like, if you ever need guys to rebound or play defense for your players, like, I'm always available, or not always available, but like, whenever you need me, I can be there. And so for me, that's kind of helped me. Like, I've known that my competitive advantages, I feel like I can do quite a few things, but the easiest thing, I think, that people are comfortable with giving you, because people don't want to just give up their whole business to you right away off. But it's like, oh, he can rebound. Oh, he can help deep. Okay, cool. Like, let him come around. Oh, he rebounded a couple times. Oh, then each time you kind of come a little bit more and more about what you could do. It's like you build trust. Things don't happen. You're not just going to get a job the next day. So it's like, start little and provide what you can and what you feel is a comfortable situation. Because like I said, you don't want to ask for too much or don't want to be around, but just continue to do those things, and opportunities will come about if you just continue to show up and continue to do those little things. There will be a bigger opportunity down the road.
Yeah, I love that. So for you, man, kind of in the grand scheme of things, right? People always talk about when it comes to being an agent, right? Like, oh, the agency business is cutthroat. Like, oh, a player can, you know, leave and go a different direction. Like, you got to be comfortable with doing X, Y, Z. Like, what about being an agent is attractive for you? Because I feel like a lot of people will say, oh, I wanted to be an agent, but I kind of I had to go a different route because X, Y, Z, man. You know, I didn't really want to get into the nitty gritty of the business, right? So for you, like, what about being an agent stood out to you to where you could want to pursue that as a career path?
I do hear that a lot. And I do see sides of that where I'm like, I don't know if that's for me, but I also, I want to be myself, and I feel like there's still an opportunity to do this job with integrity. I think there's 100% a way to do this job with integrity, with morals, with values. So that's kind of my mission, is to continue to build my career that way. And if I have to miss out on certain opportunities because I wasn't cutthroat enough, I wasn't okay with doing somebody wrong that I cared about, then so be it. I feel like at the end of the day, I will have the right people around me. I'll have the right clients. So I'll deal with the right people in that field. So yeah, I want to be of service to the athlete, because I was an athlete, and I want to be everything that I wanted as an agent. So I remember, like I said, like, I was reaching out to so many agents who passed up on me or who didn't really see the vision or whatever it was. And for me, like, I knew all the little things that I wouldn't even wanted much from an agent, but just, I know all the little things that mattered to me as a player that I wanted, and I want to be all of those things for other players. So that's kind of my main mission, is to do that and do it my way. And I feel like there's an opportunity to do that.
Yeah. So as an agent, right, what would success look like for you, right, down the line, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line for Jan Napoleon, right? Like, what does a successful career in this industry look like for you?
I think for me, it's to build a successful business, whether it's, you know, here within the company or my own thing, down the road, where I have a high character group of clients, where I want it to be quality over quantity. I'm never going to be in this business to sign as many guys as I can, make as much money as we can. Like, that's just not me. I want to be able to work with a group of players who believe in hard work, believe in discipline, believe in helping others, and being leaders in the community, in their community, in the NBA community, and whatever community they serve, and making an impact and being a positive influence on players and teaching them, you know, there is more to basketball. There is more to life than basketball, whether it's building a foundation and whether it's, you know, branching out. I want them to know that there's other things that they can do in life besides just, so use your platform, because this is an amazing platform these NBA athletes have to make a positive impact on society and build whatever business they want outside of it. So yeah, just having a handful of clients that believe in this vision would be amazing. I have long, great careers that win championships and make, you know, however much money that they want and all that type of stuff, of course. But yeah, those things really mean a lot to me.
Yeah. Now, obviously, relationships are a huge thing when it comes to being an agent, right? Knowing the right people, knowing the right high school coaches, knowing the right AAU guys, you know, players, obviously, things like that. So, and that's obviously from hearing you talk for the last hour, it seems like that's something that you're very good at, is building relationships and making those connections and things like that. And I wanted to ask you about, if there's any conversation that you had, you know what I mean, that you feel like has manifested down the line, right? Or maybe you ask somebody for a coffee and maybe a year later it turned into an invite somewhere or a job opportunity. Kind of, what are some of those, I guess, connections that you kind of made along the way that always stick with you? Maybe it's like, all right, man, if I wouldn't have met this person at this event or whatever the case may be, you know, this conversation led me to here. Like, are there any of those that kind of stick out to you or that come to mind that really helped contribute to getting you where you are today?
There's like quite a few that come to mind. So I guess I don't want to give like one example, because I don't think one is more important than the other. I don't think one is bigger than the other. I think for me, it's like a lot of small moments that have led to bigger opportunities. Yeah, I guess that's the easiest way to say it. There's so many little moments that, you know, whether it's like you said, it's like, oh, just rebounding for one guy that one time helped me get through. Then it's also like, yeah, the guy that hired me here also had a major influence, but like I wouldn't have gotten to this guy to hire me if I didn't rebound for that one guy. So it's like I don't have one thing, because I think things have all added up and it's kind of all happened in perfect timing.
Yeah. Now I want to ask about something you said earlier, man, because I felt that was something that stuck with me. I wrote it down. I was like, damn, that's a bar. I definitely want to ask him about that later, man. You said I'm rich in experience and I'm rich in relationships. And being rich in experience and rich in relationships are two things that I feel like don't come to mind when people think about rich. You know what I mean? But those things can both take you very far in life. You know what I mean? And I think that, again, in this space, trying to be an agent, being rich in relationships specifically is something that's very valuable. And I kind of want to ask you, like, what does that look like for you? Right, being rich in experience and being rich in relationships, right? Like, how does that manifest in your day-to-day life? And I guess for somebody who may be trying to be better with building relationships and making connections and creating those genuine experiences for themselves, what are some things that I think helped you achieve that, you know, in your life?
I think it's just being true to who you are. I feel like for me, I've always done that. I've always been myself in every room that I'm in. And not everyone's going to love you. Not everyone is going to come up and ask for your phone number, ask to connect with you. And that's fine. I think some people walk in and kind of expect those things to happen. It's totally fine. You're going to come across so many different people, and the right people will come into your life when they're supposed to. So I think for me, it's just being genuine, and when you go to meet new people, it's actually asking real questions, not just the silly small talk. It's because you can tell when people ask like questions that are just for small talk or ask how you are. Okay, they don't really care. But it's like when people like remember, I try to remember little things for people. I think little things they say once upon a time, and I think those things kind of go a long way. So I think just being true to yourself and treating everyone like a real human, that outside of the business, like if you treat everything, like you said, like transactionally, like those friendships are going to stay transactional. They're going to be surface level. They're not going to get any further. They're not going to last long. So I think just treating every situation with a genuine feel to it kind of goes a long way. Cause I feel like most people that are around me understand that I'm genuine, and that's why they kind of gravitate towards me. But I mean, there's also some people who didn't feel that way, and that's okay, because maybe they just didn't get that same experience, and that's okay. You just stay true to yourself and be as good as you can to whoever you're with, and the, like I said, the right people will come into your life at the right time.
Yeah, I love that, man. I love that. I find that kind of a perfect segue to kind of getting some more lighthearted stuff, man. Again, some quick hitters, and man, and go ahead and wrap it up, man. I think that obviously people that's hearing this, I think one of the things that I take from this conversation is more so number one, lead with authenticity, lead with being genuine. It'll take you a lot farther in life than trying to take on that service level thing. But I think that it's very valuable, man. And whether you're trying to be an agent, whether you're trying to be a hooper, whether you're trying to get into any industry in life, man, I think that leading with authenticity will get you a lot farther. You know what I mean? And also tucking your pride and swallowing your ego. Because I feel like that's something that you've also mentioned multiple times throughout this conversation, whether it's sending DMs and reaching out. I think the last question that I'll have for you before we kind of change gears a little bit is, how have you been able to deal with the no's along the way, right? You mentioned sending hundreds of emails trying to get overseas and not hearing back, or reaching out to agents that might not see the vision, right? And having to deal with that, right? You know, being 28, right? You're like, damn, I'm still not necessarily where I want to be in my career, but I'm taking those steps, right? Like, how have you been able to deal with those things along the way? And what advice would you have to other people out here who may be listening to this, who are kind of on that climb, and maybe they've felt that sense of rejection early on, you know, but they're still trying to keep pushing along their own journey, man? Like, what does that look like for you?
For me, I think I just try to treat everything as it's all just building character. If you were to apply to your first job and get a yes right away and get in, like, first of all, you wouldn't appreciate it as much as you might after hearing 100 no's and finally getting that one yes. So that's first off. And second off, I wish I remember, like, you know, all great things are hard to achieve. Like, everyone could do it. If anyone could do it, everyone would do whatever type of thing. So I think for me, I just feel like every situation kind of built character. And I feel like those years where I was getting a lot of no's, and they're very frustrating, very disheartening at times. It's hard to deal with, especially at the time. But as I'm, you know, phasing out and headed towards the right direction in my career now, I can say that those times kind of, like I said, built my character and have taught me that even now when I'm working here at the company, that you're going to be reaching out to companies for your clients. And you're going to get a lot of no's, and you have to be okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, if I wasn't okay with getting those no's 3 years ago, then I would struggle a lot harder here. All the no's that I got during my playing career have kind of prepared me for these moments now, because you're going to continue to get no's. Even once you get hired by a company or you get your first client, like, the work is only just beginning. So it's almost like a lifestyle. It's something that you have to learn. And the earlier you learn it, the better suited you'll be down the line, because you're going to have a long career even after your early 20s of playing and reaching out, whatever it is. So just accepting it and learning how to deal with it is very important. Figuring out how you deal with it is very important, because everyone's different and there's no right or wrong way to do it. No right or wrong way to think. I think you just have to develop your own system that's healthy and productive and beneficial to you. And once you kind of develop that, you just want to keep that with you in whatever field you work in. Because like I said, those no's, those things, rejection is going to continue to come throughout life. And rejection is not failure. Rejection is just a little speed bump, if you want to call it. So definitely get comfortable being rejected, and your career will be a lot better suited.
Yeah. One of my favorite bars, man, is rejection is not rejection. It's redirection. You know what I mean? So
you said it better than I did.
You know what I mean? So if y'all hearing this, man, you feel me? Don't take the no's personal. Understanding that there's a better path for you. Just got to continue to stay at it. You know what I mean? That's awesome, man. So before we get you on out the door, man, I got a couple more lighthearted questions. You know what I mean? Wrap it up on a fun note. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I had you on this podcast for, you know, an hour. And we didn't get to the fact that you still give out smoke on a daily basis when it comes to hoops, man. I've seen a whole bunch of highlights on the gram. You know what I mean? Bristol Studios runs. I see you got poked in the eye or elbowed in the eye one time, had to throw to many men, you know what I mean? Folks is getting real crazy. Are you still hooping in the Drew? Are we expect the return? Like what's the summer of hoops looking like for you, man? Are you still getting out there, man? We gotta talk about it. You gotta talk about it.
Look, I play once a week. That I cap it at that. And when I do, I like to play hard. I like to have fun. I like to play basketball. That's all I can say. But yeah, man, I love playing, and I want to continue playing as long as I'm healthy. I still train like an athlete. I don't sit there and bench press and do curls. I do some functional movements. I want to stay healthy. I want to move well. For the times I have to get on the court with the clients that we have. More importantly for myself, though, because I love the game of basketball. I love playing. I'm still happiest when I'm on the court. It's like the greatest stress reliever for that 1 hour, hour and a half out of the week. It feels like I'm back in college or I'm black overseas. So I never want to get rid of that. I always play some capacity when I get older, maybe if I'm just shooting around. So yeah, I still enjoy playing. And right now I'm still at an age and level where I can, you know, play at a somewhat higher level over here. So that's why you see some of that stuff. But no, man, I just love to do it. And I mean, that's another networking opportunity for me, because when I do play well, people come to me, and people, you know, conversations get had, and I do meet a lot of people through that. So I don't want to say networking is the main thing I do it for, because I do love to play, but that's a good byproduct of playing well.
You still work on the bag? Like, you still get in the gym and like work on the craft at all?
No, I don't. You know, and like I said, like I told you earlier, I was always obsessed with the little things, like the workouts and everything. And I would like to start getting back on the court and doing skill work. I watch my guys train every day. So I already have. I do train people. So I have a few kids that I still train on the side. And then I have one of my good friends who's around my age who I do train. So I'm on the court a lot. I don't train myself, but as my knee and Achilles have been recovering from little old man injuries. I'm not that old, but my body feels like it sometimes. I definitely want to get back in the lab a little bit, because I guess I do enjoy working out. So right now it's just strictly games and runs, but I would like to start getting back in the lab a little bit. So that's actually a good reminder. And maybe about once a week or so, I'll start working on maybe 30, 45 minutes of skill work. And
all you need,
that's it. That's all I need.
Retouch the jumper, make sure it's there.
Yeah, just some shots, like 10 a spot, like nothing crazy.
Crazy. I love it. So I got to get your opinion on this, because I talk to people all the time, man. And I know you probably hear this a lot. People are like, oh, people from LA are fake. People from LA aren't this. People from LA aren't that. Like, they're not genuine, da 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 da. And I feel like one thing that I noticed from being in LA, first of all, most of the folks that's in LA aren't from LA. They moved there and they're transplants. So from a native LA resident, right, what's your thoughts on this whole narrative, man? Because I feel like a lot of people who I've come across in LA have been great people. You know what I mean? Whether it's LA or whether it's from the IE. I got to shout out my good besties, Jody and Ashton, out there in the IE holding it down. You know what I mean? But what's your thoughts on that, man? Because LA gets a bad rap. Even out here in Australia, people out here, they're like, oh, we heard LA and this and that. I'm like, what y'all know about LA, like, out here? It's crazy. It's crazy work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's silly. Like you said, a lot of the people that are here in LA are transplants, and people that come here are coming here for a reason. And obviously, I mean, I respect people come here for career opportunities and to build further their life. And I fully understand that. But those people are not always the most genuine, because they're so focused on their careers that a lot of it is transactional. And those are the people that are now representing our city, or when people complain about it, those are the people you're meeting. So don't complain to me about them. Come meet me and my friends. We're regular. We're cool. Like, if you get to know real people in LA, you'll learn that it is a cool city. But I mean, I get it. Like, people who, like I said, if you work in entertainment and music, all those types of things, like, there are a lot of fake people. Of course, it's a fake industry. And then when you're around a lot of transplants who are here for a reason, you get those types of people. So, that's all I'll say on that, because us LA people, we're fine. We don't ever complain. Like, We're all good here.
Thanks. I can vouch. I can vouch, man. All the native LA folks I've met have been great people, man. You included, man. Definitely great, great, great person. What is, give me three spots, right, that somebody who's not from LA, maybe you're visiting the city or maybe you're moving to the city, you got to check out. And it can be, you know, restaurants, this could be nightlife, this could be like shopping, a cultural experience, man. Give us three spots that people got to check out, man, if they're coming to LA. And some of this is for the pod, but some of this also for me. You know what I mean? When I come out there, I'm pulling up facts.
All right. I'll start with a local spot back around the area that I'm from is Simply Wholesome. It's a Jamaican spot. It's a half like healthy group grocery store, half like little hot food section. So it's, you know, some good proper yard food. We got good smoothies, all that type of stuff, black owned. So I would definitely say that. It's on Slauson and Overhill. I would go there. I mean, I might get slammed for this because it's a little basic, but John and Vinny's Italian food is just great. It's just a good vibe. Music's good in there. The lighting's nice. You get the drawing little thing. Like, I would say John and Vinny's as far as Italian food there. And then let me think something other than food. I would say honestly, I would check out the Venice canals because there's a little canal in Venice area. There's a beach down there you can go to. And then there's a canal kind of like, you know, the Venice canal in Italy. It's a nice area. Me and some of my friends like walking around there. It's a little bit away from the city, so it's a little more calm and serene, a little bit of nature over there. So yeah, I like that spot. Just a lot of people don't bring that spot up. I could just say, you know, one of the popular hikes and stuff. So I am trying to hike a little bit more this summer. But the Venice canals are nice spots to walk around and decompress a little bit.
Yeah. So last quick hit I got for you, man, is obviously you talked a lot about, you know, snow and basketball, and how there's an intersection between music and culture and sports and entertainment. Everything kind of comes into one. So who are some of your favorite like creators that you kind of draw inspiration from, or maybe you admire from afar, whether that's, you know, hoopers, artists, musicians, people who are kind of just doing that, you know, on a high level, like that you kind of like to listen to, like to watch, like to draw inspiration from, or even hoopers, you know what I mean? I think there's no better time than today, man, to see like hoopers that are kind of branching out in a different industry, whether it's Shay and Kools and the fashion space, or people that are getting into music and things like that, entertainment. Like, who are some of your favorite creators that you think are doing dope stuff now?
When you're saying players, you mean that are also doing things in the creative space, or like you said, NBA players that are kind of
they have to be players too. It could be artists or things like that you think are maybe that are inspiring to you, or that you kind of think are noteworthy.
That's funny. Actually, I don't watch football, but I think Stephon Diggs has a really cool vibe too. I like the way he dresses. I like his whole swag and everything. I like the way he posts his pictures. Yeah, all that type of stuff. His whole aesthetic is cool to me. So
Maryland finest right there. That. Maryland finest, man. From my neck. That's a goat right there from around the way.
There you go. So there's that. And as far as like local creatives, I'll give a shout out to a couple of my friends who have two of my favorite clothing brands. There's Max Hazard, who has Brand Scene, I've seen him build it from the ground up. He's also someone kind of similar to me, where he's working in the sports industry but still has a creative side to him. So really cool to see how he's built his whole brand and has gotten on all types of people in different spaces. Shout out to him on that. And then my friends Hunter Schussler and Julian, who have a brand called Better Days. They're a couple guys from Atlanta who moved out here to pursue their careers, and they're building their brand. And it's definitely, well, actually, not even biasly, it is one of my favorite brands. And it also helps that I'm friends with them. So I get a sneak peek to everything that's going on. So shout out to them.
That's love. That's love, man. I met Max at All-Star Weekend. He's a dope dude, man. I've been seeing this stuff. He's been doing with Brand Scene for a while. Definitely Dope to see, man. And I had the better days in LA. I feel like I've seen that. I feel like I've seen that on IG. I feel like I've seen the page and I've seen some of the stuff, man. It's
Yeah.
two dope shout outs for sure. For sure. That's awesome. That's awesome, man. So, like I said, I won't take too much of your time, man. I want to just, first of all, just say thank you for coming on today, man. I know it's the middle of the day out there in LA. You can be doing a bunch of different things, man. So, shout out to you for coming on and just sharing your story, dropping gems. I learned a lot from this conversation, and I know listeners have as well, man. And again, I always try to end every episode with just giving flowers. And I feel like from the time we met back at Crypto back in January, you were a genuine dude. And from the things I've seen you do, just from the foundation with your brand, something that I admire, you know, as an athlete myself, trying to make that transition eventually. You're somebody who I think have done it gracefully and is doing amazing work, man. So just continue to do that. You're doing amazing work, man. A lot of people are inspired by you. And you know, again, thanks for coming on today. I look forward to following your journey going forward, man. And I know you got big things ahead in the Asian space. And keep doing what you're doing, bro. You're doing amazing.
Yeah. No, I just want to say thank you for having me. I actually don't I don't do a lot of I don't do a lot of podcasts at all. Just because I like keeping certain things private and for whatever reason. But I feel we've kind of talked about with my career, I feel like you were very genuine since the first time I met you, and certain people you don't need, a lot of time together to understand that, they're a good person. So I've gotten that vibe from you. So that's why I wanted to do this with you. So thank you for having me. Thank you for being you, and I'll see you when you're back. Good luck with the rest. You're still in season, right?
Yes,
Or
sir. Sir, three
yeah,
games left.
so
Wrapping it up.
yeah, finish strong, and then I'll probably see you this summer.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'll be back. I'll be back on the ends real soon, man. I appreciate you, my guy.
All
So before we get
right,
you out
I'll
the door,
talk to you soon.
before we get you out the door, man, you know, we gotta wrap it up with who should we have next on the What's in Your Bag podcast? And whoever you say, you gotta get in your PG bag, your PG on, and give us the assist, help us get them on the show.
Let me think. I'm gonna throw a lob to my friend and colleague here at Excel, Austin Mason. He works in marketing and merchandising here. So yeah, I could probably help with that. Yeah, I'll nominate Austin Mason.
That'd be dope. That'd be dope, man. Awesome, man. So we hopefully you're hearing this right now, man. And we'll be in contact real soon, my guy. But that's a great shout. Great shout, my guy. But again, man, thanks again for coming on. We appreciate you, man. I know I'll be tapping in with you soon, no doubt, when we're back on the West Coast. But guys, this has been another episode of the What's in Your Bag podcast presented by Bet Online. Make sure you're liking, subscribing, and following, and telling a friend to tell a friend. It goes a long, long way. This is going to be my guy, Pull Up Tay, on the outro. Make sure you guys are streaming his music, guys. Until next time, folks. Peace.
Suave, I've been in my bag for a while, I'm invincible. Story of a young boss, grinding shit get critical. Calling on my bros one time, cause you special. I had some hood dreams of right rounds for my mentor. Every target that I shoot is on point like a pencil. Different route, change relationships, I'm so sorry. Came up from the trenches and I made it, I say hardly. Now
as school messes return, rest easy. Clorox has got your back to school.
Oh no!
I'm back. That messy science experiment. And I brought baking soda, cornstarch.
And you're due tomorrow, right? Well, at least I stocked up on Clorox disinfecting wipes. Because you're not messing up my kitchen counters like last time.
Ooh, smart. Got any food coloring?
And off to the store we go.
Stock up on Clorox disinfecting wipes that clean three times better than wet paper towels on kitchen grease and soap scum. Use as directed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.